I'm sorry?
Are you guys born again believers?
Absolutely. Born again following Jesus Christ, yes.
Okay, awesome. I wanted to see, do you guys go to church anywhere around here?
Well, one, we're not from here. We travel.
Okay.
We travel full time. I'm a traveling street preacher. This is what I do, and then I teach online. So we're not in one place anytime. We're full time van dwellers. We live in our camper van and we travel all over the country and preach all over.
Praise God for that.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's really great. You know, one of the things too is that I want to say, you know, what I'm trying to do today is shine the gospel as well. You know, and I want people to see this. You know, and I think one of the times people they get so pushed off. You know, from we live in a very prideful society. You know, and I think one of the things is that when I talk to people too, you know, I'm trying to cut through that carnal mind.
How does the Bible tell us to do that?
Well, for one thing though, to do it in love, you know, too. I'm not saying that you guys aren't doing it in love too, but
so I have a question for you. The most evangelistic book in the Bible is the book of Acts. Guess how many times it uses the word love to evangelize and get the world set on Christ?
I'm not sure.
Zero.
Well, remember what Paul said, though.
Hold on. So it doesn't say love once. What were the words they did use to call people to this risen Savior? Two main words.
Sure.
Repent. Obey.
Right. And I do commend you
so
guys.
That's not mean. That's not unloving. In fact, godly love calls you to repentance. And your Living Faith Church, you guys keep Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, pagan holidays, right? You keep those? You recognize them, you acknowledge them.
Right, you know,
people in church, when I bring that up, they go, well, what do you mean? I'm not talking to Easter Bunny and Santa. I'm talking about, do you acknowledge Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday, and Christmas?
We don't acknowledge Good Friday. It's Good Friday. You know, our church still does celebrate Christmas. Me and my wife have chosen to go back from Christmas.
Yeah. Well, problem is, if you're united to people that still do false ways, you're united to false ways. So the Bible says people that keep false ways were to warn and avoid. So what I would lovingly, like, push back against is when you say, well, you want to do it in a loving way. If people walk by you and you don't tell them that if they follow the culture and false churchianity and they don't repent and change direction, they're going to lose their soul. You did not love them. You are like tap dancing to not hurt their feelings. That's called itchy-eared. It really is. And
I agree with you.
I agree. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus make people mad with his preaching?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Did Paul?
I'm sure.
Did Peter?
Right.
Did John the Baptist?
Right.
So why do all the American churches, and I'm asking this in love, why do all the American churches always tell the street preacher, be careful, not saying you're not unloving, be careful. See, people aren't used to it like this, the call to repentance, warning of obeying. They're not used to that. So your gospel and your approach in love, because I care for your soul, is man-centered. And you're going to win church converts. That's what you're going to win. You're going to win people. Oh, the Jehovah Witnesses are down there in the corner. I rebuked them twice because they had two different groups of people in there. They're going to win people that want to go to church. And it's a nice system. The people are so nice. You know, that older man up there, he's about my age. He's so much nicer than the street preacher.
Well, I agree with everything that you... Well, I can't
he's,
say everything.
He's nicer, but he's not telling them the truth.
Well, I agree because, you know, what we need to do is if I leave a conversation with somebody and they get away from that and they say, oh, thanks a lot, I appreciate it, but I don't tell them that the wrath of God abides on them.
Right.
That Jesus Christ came to save the world, but if they don't repent of their
sins... So preach the gospel to me. How does a person come out of the world and find eternal life?
So I want
to be complete.
Sure, I will. Okay, put me on the spot. That's great.
By the way, in your church, are you any kind of leadership position or anything there?
Associate
or?
Pastor.
You're what?
Associate pastor.
Associate pastor.
Any evangelizer.
What verse in the Bible has associate pastor? Is there?
I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay, all right. Like, there's no youth pastor in the Bible. I can't find it. There's no worship pastor. Worship leader.
I guess you could say pastor.
In the New Testament, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there is, Acts 4 does have pastors, so.
Okay.
We'll give you that.
Sure. Okay, so, you know, when I like to use the style of when going to them, you know, obviously it does call for boldness. The gospel does call for boldness. And I think what you guys are doing is commendable because, you know what, it takes boldness to go out there. But I want to say one of the tips that and tools that I've learned is make sure you preach to people, not at them. And I want to say that you guys are doing what God has called you to do.
To preach to people, not at them.
What's your first name?
My name is Tupos.
Tupos?
Yep, that's my wife's sister, Amon.
Nice to meet you guys.
So what I would say, ready? Let me share with you. So let's say there's 50 people right here. And I will go out and I will shotgun the message. Shotguns shoot a broad pattern with lots of pellets. You're probably familiar with that. And then I will preach that Jesus died, came into the world to save sinners, that you're following the world pattern. You're an enemy of God, James 4:4. If you're a friend of God, you're an enemy of the world. I used to be in the church system. I used to be in the world. You must turn and repent and come out of the world. The church systems aren't telling you the truth. Christ alone is the truth. So I'll shotgun it. And then that's not to anyone. That is at them. Jesus said, what I tell you in your ear, go preach it from the rooftop. I promise you, when you're preaching from the rooftop, you're not preaching to a person, you're preaching at people. And then, it's happened 3 or 4 times today, awesomely, when one person comes up and goes, can I talk to you? And I go, yeah, what's up? Now we have a one-on-one, and if you go, we'll have a post up about this musky preaching. It'll be on our website, don'tperish.com. You can look it up. You'll hear the audio conversations we've had. Now we talk to people. So we preach at to get the message out, then we talk to. And my fear is that the churchianity system far, far more practices the preaching to, did I say it right?
Sure.
One-on-one versus at with the correct message. And again, we'll get to the gospel you preach, but a lot of the false ways that are kept just can't be excused. I mean, pagan holidays, feminization. I mean, do you teach your women to cover their heads? The Bible does.
No.
The Bible does. 1 Corinthians 11. God dressed us in garments to cover our bodies up. I see all these American churches walking around in clothes that shows off their forms, and then they go to the beach in even more nakedness, and I think that's appropriate.
Well, I do disagree with that, too, going to the beach. Well,
I'm just saying. So, but God has a standard. But go ahead. Let's get to the gospel. So there's one guy walks up to you and says, what's wrong with me, man? I'm a worldly man, and I don't believe in Christ. What do I need to do?
Well, I'd say, you know, what? Let me ask you, how do you think you can be saved? Do you have a desire to be saved? What do I have to do?
Well, I'm interested in knowing what is the path to eternal life so I can count the cost.
Okay, well, Jesus gives us the law, which is a schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ.
Okay.
I said, you know any of the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, I know a few, yeah.
So can you name one of the Ten Commandments for me?
Yeah, something about honoring your parents.
Okay, have you ever disobeyed your parents before?
Yeah, I did when I was a teenager, yeah.
So if you disobeyed your parents, you've broken one of the laws, which says that if you've broken one of the law, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. Okay. So have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yeah, let's cut to the chase. I've done a lot of sin, I know that.
Okay, so by your own admission, you're guilty of breaking God's law, so you're a liar, a thief.
Yep, I've done pretty much everything, yep.
Okay, so if God were to judge you according to his standard, which is moral...
I'm guilty.
So,
I can admit it.
What you need to do is repent and believe on Jesus Christ, and what you need to do is ask him for forgiveness.
Okay.
Put your full faith and trust in him.
Okay.
And so once you do that, you have a new heart, new desires. You need to continue to be like Christ. And this is where the sanctification comes in, of being more like Christ. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ every day.
Okay.
Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, making no provision for the flesh.
So by faith in what Jesus did, I repent. I can have a new heart and mind. And then what?
Then you follow him. Read your Bible every day. Seek the Lord.
Okay.
Go to him in prayer. Get joined up to a body of Christ. The body. You know, and I'm not talking about the Universal Catholic Church. So, talking about...
Is this something I have to keep doing? Or can I raise my hand, say a prayer, get baptized, and know I'm going to heaven no matter what?
Well, what you're talking about is a false convert. And a false convert is someone who says the name of Christ, but by their actions they deny him.
But do I have to continue to live righteously?
Correct.
I do?
Correct. Or else
so if I live in willful sin,
correct,
will I be forgiven?
Well, you'll lose your salvation.
I'll lose it. So you don't believe in once saved, always saved?
Correct.
Okay.
It is
all right. So I got to keep going in this righteousness. So let me ask you a question. I love the things of the world. Can I live like the world and still claim Jesus?
No.
Really? Can I, I love the Packers. Can I watch the Packers and...
Well, I guess, you know, if you want to, but, you know, one of the things that God did for me...
Not if I want to. I'm talking about my salvation here. So you told me I can't live like the world. Can I watch the Packers and root for all those guys? And even though that I know they support LGBT and they're violent and they're covetous, and they're carnal and they're worldly and they're immodest and they're prideful. Right. Can I watch them and support them?
Well, let me tell you something. Personally, what God has done for me is showed me that that was an idol in my life and I had to rip it out. I quit watching the NFL because when they lit it up with LGBTQ...
Like, but forget the LGBTQ and all GRSTYX. Forget all of that. Isn't the sport itself carnal and wicked? Is it of God?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an idol. Men have worshipped it for a long time. So it was something that God had to rip out of my life and say, this, you're breaking the first commandment, which says, you shall serve no other gods before me.
Yeah.
So this is something that, you know, God...
It's not just, and I would say about the NFL, it's not, it can become an idol, but it's not just an idol. It's vile. Let's go through it, ready? Because you're in pecker country. It's vile. It's violent. It's prideful. God hates pride.
Yeah.
Proverbs 6:17, he's an abomination. Score a touchdown and they're doing
proud
this.
Look.
Proud.
Right.
Does this look like a proud look? Mm-hmm. Holding up trophies, all the stuff in the end zone, all this foolishness. They do all this carnality and they kneel for 10 seconds in the end zone and they make a mockery of our God. So I can't do that stuff. I'd have to come out of all that. But let me ask you a question. You said join a church body. So can I join a church body that keeps feminized ways and pagan holidays?
Well, I would say no.
So could I join yours?
You could, but you
know. Does it keep pagan holidays and feminized ways?
Not feminized ways, but you know.
They don't teach ladies to cover their head and how to dress
biblical.
Feminized
ways, okay. Gotcha.
Women's hair and makeup and jewelry and showing their bodies off, doesn't that sound like feminization to you? Mm-hmm. Does that sound like holiness to you?
Well, I could say that the church standard has definitely declined since, you know.
So they're not keeping God's word. So let me just share with you, the gospel you proclaim, I pretty much agree with you. By faith in Jesus shed blood, repentance, come out of the world and all sin. You must be born again. The fruit you're born again is holiness and obedience. Come out of the world and you must endure. That's exactly what's on that gospel card right there that we preach. The problem I have, what's your first name?
Chris.
Chris.
Yep.
I love you and I got to tell you the truth. Ready?
Yep.
You're in grave danger.
Am I in grave danger?
You know why?
Why is that?
Go read Matthew 23 verse 3. Jesus says the Pharisees, who he called hypocrites, 8 or 9 times in that chapter, he said, they sit in the seat of Moses and do everything they tell you to do because they're telling you what the law of God says. So in your case, like a pastor, he's a pastor and he's probably telling you a lot of stuff that's good you should be doing, but he's a hypocrite because he doesn't really even do what he just told me, because you told me to come out of the world, you told me to walk in holiness, you told me to find a good church, and you can't even admit your own church would be that. So you're a hypocrite because you're still united to your church. That keeps a bunch of false ways, Chris.
No, I mean,
sure.
When you look,
how can you have a holy body if they keep Christmas and Easter that are pagan Roman Catholic holidays that God never ordained?
Well, that's something that, you know, I think our church is waking up tomorrow, you know.
How long's your church been a church?
It's been over 30 years.
Excuse me for laughing. 30 years, and they still haven't gotten to the pagan holidays or women covering their head or men dressing biblical. 30 years.
Well,
can I boast in Christ? 1 year, I tell people all the time, my wife and I used to be part of the church system, her more than me. She grew up a Lutheran, I was a pagan and bounced in and out of non-denominational places. We repented and left the church system, and within 1 year, I'm boasting in Christ here, I couldn't do this, I'm not smart enough, no, neither is she. In 1 year, on our own, no one to help us, our family all turned on us, our friends all turned on us, they all wanted worldly church and partying, we wanted righteousness and holiness. In 1 year, you know how much doctrine we got to that I still preach today, 15 years later? About 95% in 1 year on our own with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So I'm sorry, I have to, you know, the prophets mocked the prophets of Baal. Have you ever read about that? They mocked them. They said, hey, where's your God? How come you can't do it? I got to mock, in a way, the church systems when they tell me, well, we're moving closer. And I go, you said only 30 years for your church. The last Baptist guy that told me, well, we're getting there. Eventually we'll get there. I said, how long has your church been around? And he said, I see it on the stone sign, 1897. So what you're keeping, Chris, is a pattern of churchianity that has not completely called you out to your own very gospel. That would make you a hypocrite that you need to go much deeper at. You can't go and unite to that church if they're not walking in fullness. Romans 16:17 says, mark those and avoid them who cause division by leaving sound doctrine. Your living faith church has left sound doctrine, and you uniting to them goes against the word of God. Jesus said, Matthew 18, if you're my brother and you're in some sin, I go to you alone. If you won't repent, I take a couple brothers. If you won't repent, take you before the whole body. If you won't repent, Let's just all go along to get along so we have fellowship.
Do you guys go to church somewhere around
But wait.
There?
And then he said, put him out. Treat him like a publican. Yeah. So, no, we don't. Because we don't live here. We travel full time. And I don't know. Ready?
But see, that's
I know. Hold on. I know a handful of saints all over the world that are true saints that have come out and did what I'm describing to you. I know a handful of them. They're not all in one building. Hear this statement, ready? And I'm going to have you challenge it.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to challenge everything I'm saying. My website backs up everything I'm saying in the Word of God.
Yeah.
I don't know one church system building in America that is either keeping all the things that God's called us to in the New Testament, or they want to and they're willing to repent and start doing it today. I don't know one. I don't know one. After how many years, honey? How many thousands of pastors and bodies we've visited, talked to? I don't know one. I don't know one. And this goes with the scriptures because Jesus said few are going to find eternal life. And that word means puny in the Greek to English, puny. And the church system in America, look at America, Chris. It is a paganized, sodomized, bloated, idolatrous material. We've had denominational religion for 265 years.
I know that.
That is the problem. The church has lowered... Man-made church has lowered the standard of God so far that now they have a false gospel. Now they can live in sin. They make excuses like you say. Well, we're moving in that direction. If you believe these are pagan holidays that are not ordained by God, Jesus said in Mark 7, worshiping God and keeping man-made traditions, you worship God in vain. Living Faith Church in Rice Lake is worshiping God in vain, per Jesus. You should get so righteous about that, you should go to your pastor and say, I'm not coming back here till we repent of all that. I can't unite to sin. But if you don't, you're partial, you're in sin, and you want fellowship with them more than you want fellowship with God and God's true people that have come out of that.
Oh, I'll consider it. Definitely.
Does that make sense?
No, I'll definitely.
Yeah, because so the gospel you told me is good.
We have in where it says in Jeremiah, don't take the tree out of the forest and decorate it with, you know,
yeah.
gold. And
yeah, I mean, that certainly isn't a semblance of a Christmas tree.
Two posts. One thing I'll leave you, you know, two posts. One of the things is that remember what Paul said. What's he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is still, I'm going to say this. This is still something that I'm looking into with the woman having her head covered. You know, it does mention that. And I've heard two sides of this.
Thank you.
But one of the things is that, remember what Paul says. He says, even though I have faith to move mountains and don't have love. Now, love preaches the truth.
Yeah, what is love?
Think about this.
1 John 5:3. This is the love of God. Just being nice to everybody?
No.
Keeping his commandments.
Right.
So you, what I would contend to say, I have to tell you in love, what you guys have, the church system, Churchianity in America, has a man-centered fleshly law. You're always catering to man, and you started our conversation catering to man. Make sure that you're not. See, here's what you should do. You should boldly preach the word of God in truth, and guess what it does, Chris? It goes forth, and it does its job, and it cuts, and then it draws people to them. You don't go and start correcting the message to try to make people feel more. That's the wrong way. That's man-centered and flesh.
But you know what? Even as you're saying this to me, I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm taking it in. See, this is the part of the body, though, that needs to correct each other and help each other.
Well, yeah, I'm giving you a loving rebuke. You're in sin. You need to repent or you're going to lose your soul.
But the thing about it, even
Hebrews 10:26 says, if you keep willful sin, if you go back and you keep Christmas, Easter, if you keep going to a church where the women don't dress biblical, you're not biblical. If you keep doing that and you look in the Word of God and you go, oh my, it is true. Forget what the preacher said. It is true. Forget, ready? All of your evangelical heroes. They all taught women to cover their heads and men and women to dress biblical. Feminism came along and they ripped them off, took their bras off, put pants on, and it changed everything. And the pastors went along with it. All of the heroes that you would lift up, Spurgeon, Edwards, I think they're all heretics for one reason or another. They kept pagan holidays.
But they taught this.
They taught it from the oracles of God. It's right in the Word of God. So your very gospel deceives you because it's hypocritical to call. You're telling people they got to repent of sin and come out of the world in false ways while you keep them, while you're united to them. You've got to see that hypocrisy, Chris. It's like me telling you to quit smoking a pipe while I'm smoking my Marlboro.
I want to point something out to you, and I'm going to point it out. This is in the book of Acts. Remember, Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Peter was sent to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they came and they said, hey, some of these guys are not circumcised. They have to be circumcised. And they have to keep the law of Moses. And what does Peter say? We thought it good with the Holy Ghost if you abstain from sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drink blood.
Right.
Don't eat anything that was strangled.
Right.
Right? And so thinking about that, I said, he didn't go through this huge, huge list and say, you know what? Even though I agree, I'm starting to come into this more of where there's a lot of paganism that is crept into the culture of America.
Churches. Let's forget about the culture. The churches are following paganism. I just rebuked them down there. You know what's on their building? Maybe it's on one of yours. You know what a steeple is?
It's not. We don't have a steeple.
Okay. You know what a steeple is? It's a phallic symbol.
Like a Freemason symbol?
It's a penis.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Came from the Egyptians, handed down to the Roman Catholics. The evangelicals kept them. Everybody keeps doing them. They got a penis on their building.
I know there's a
We're all adults here, I can say that. How ridiculous.
I know.
Why don't they put a giant breast on their building?
Mm-hmm. No, this is something that, you know...
But what you just said, though, first of all, in context, always study in context. Acts 15 was the Jews of the time trying to force the Gentiles to keep Moses' Torah law. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about New Testament. That's Torah law. Covering your heads in 1 Corinthians 11. Women dressing biblical is in 1 Timothy 3 and in 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 3. And then God killed animals and shed blood and covered us in Genesis 3, and it never changed. So we do keep some pre-Torah things. Are you married? One woman? That's pre-Torah. God has ordained one man, one woman for marriage. Would you drink blood? That's pre-Torah, Genesis 9. Do you have children?
Yes.
Would you kill a bear if it was attacking your children?
Correct.
That's taking dominion. That's pre-Torah law. So we do keep some pre-Torah things. But when we get to the moral law, the Ten Commandments, we keep all the nine commandments. There's one that is altered. You know which one is altered? We don't keep it fully today. But it's altered. Sabbath. We don't keep Saturday Sabbath anymore. Christ is our Sabbath rest.
So are you... No,
we don't belong to any man-made group. Christ is our Sabbath rest. So he died, and by the way, Resurrection Sunday is a lie. You're keeping lies in the church system. He didn't rise on Sunday. He rose on Saturday. He didn't die on Friday. He died on Wednesday.
But remember what Jesus said. We go back to the words of Jesus, you know, because heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus' words are concrete. What did Jesus say? The Sabbath was made for man, not man.
Yep.
For the Sabbath.
Yeah. Now we don't keep the Sabbath now. We're resting in Christ.
But, you know, no matter the day, you know, the day of where when you celebrate.
No,
you know,
I didn't say the day celebrates, but when you're now that you bring it up, your systems will call Sunday the Lord's Day. It's not the Lord's Day. That's a Roman Catholic lie. Sunday's not the Lord's Day. The disciples met two times on Sunday, but they never instituted it as the day. The reason they met Sunday is because they were an amalgamation of Jews and Gentiles. The Jews were still going to Saturday Sabbath. It made sense to then all gather on Sunday, but Sunday's not the Lord's Day.
But do you think, you know, somebody's salvation would hinge on going to church on a Sunday rather than a Saturday?
No, first of all, I said you could go any day you want, but calling a day the Lord's Day is a lie. Calling Christmas a godly holiday is a lie. Saying Jesus died on Friday is a lie. Saying he resurrected on Sunday is a lie. Revelation 22.
Well, I believe he didn't die on, it's not Good Friday. It should be Wednesday that he died.
Yeah.
And when you do the math.
Yeah. But a lot of churches keep Friday.
Oh, they do.
And then they practice Sunday. He can't die Wednesday and then rise Sunday. He's a liar. 3 days, three nights, he's in the grave.
Right.
So here's the point. Revelation 22, 14, 15. One lie will keep you out of the kingdom. One lie. Whoever loveth and practice a lie. One lie. Acts 5. What happened in Acts 5? Husband and wife got
killed.
Right. Over what?
Lying about withholding.
One lie.
Right.
Adam and Eve got thrown out of the garden. Why? 10 sins? 5 sins?
Disobedience.
One sin.
Right.
So you need to look at your life and your church system and say, one thing we keep that is against God is going to damn us. One thing.
Right.
How about the rich man? He comes to Jesus and he said, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, keep the law. And he says, I've done that. And apparently he did, because Jesus is God and he knew this man's past. And then Jesus said that in the book of Mark 10, I think it's Mark 10, it says, I love this. Jesus, ready? I'm going to prove to you that what you're saying is wrong about love and not preaching and showing people things. Can I finish this point first?
Finish it and I've got something else
for you. Yeah, Mark 10. It says, Jesus loved him. And then showed him what he lacked. Jesus loved him and said, one thing you lack is going to keep you out of the kingdom of God. You love your stuff. Go get rid of your stuff and follow me. He couldn't do it and he left sad.
Hey, how you doing? Good to see ya. How you doing?
Good, how about you?
Doing good. Doing really good. Are you going to be around the area for a while? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's good seeing you. I'll see you around.
Hey, we love our neighbor. Watch out for churchianity. They're not teaching the truth of God. They're not, ma'am. It says Jesus loved him and told him what he lacked.
Right.
Jesus always told people, go, sin no more. Okay, it's loving. See, you got the wrong idea of love. So one thing, you said you had a point that I want you to say. One thing is going to cost you your soul if you do it willfully. Hebrews 10:26, there's no sacrifice for sin if you keep sinning willfully. So what were you going to say?
So one of the things is that I will say that is when you're entering in, so everything that you're saying can be, it's truth. But what I'm saying is that when you go into it, is that make sure that your heart and your motive is right. I know that they're lost.
What's my motive to talking to you for? I'm making money off you?
No.
Am I making fame? Becoming popular? What's my motive to stop here and talk to you?
I don't know. You can prove your point. Remember, Paul said, some preach Christ out of strife,
yep.
Some preach Christ out of envy.
Yep. But
some
look at my life.
Christ out of goodwill.
Go test me. Look at my life. See that we've sold and given up everything to go preach Christ.
And that's,
see
that's commendable.
And guess what? We're not built on money like your church systems. We don't make money to be pastors. We don't make money to ask people to sit in the building. Most churches spend 70% on salaries and buildings and insurance. This is all a false system that you're following, Chris. And it's loving. So be careful of your feminized approach to American churchianity. It's not of God.
So I'm going to step back. Women should have their head covered.
The Bible teaches that.
Right. Okay. I understand the two passages.
In prayer, when they're gathering, when they're prophesizing, when they're praying, and their hair is their glory, it should be covered.
Okay. Secular holidays should not be practiced in the church. Holidays in general.
Well, I don't know. Wait. I don't know about that. I'm talking about the holidays that they've linked to Jesus Christ that are lies. Christmas, Easter, Good Friday. What's a secular holiday the church would practice? Halloween? That's wicked and evil.
Okay, yes, I agree.
You know, Thanksgiving, you want to sit down and have a meal together and be thankful? I don't have a problem with that. But don't say it's a holiday of God. It's not.
So those two things, and I'm getting on to the third thing. So the third thing you're talking about, apart from these two things, is that those things need to be ripped out of the church, the first two things that you're talking about.
Well, they need
about.
To be repented of and stopped because they're sin.
Right.
You're in sin. You're keeping false ways.
Okay.
I just told you, Jesus said you worship God in vain, keeping man-made traditions. And the Pharisees he warned about, you know what they were keeping? Washing of pots and cups. Go read Mark 7. All they did was added the washing of pots and cups. And Jesus said that and other such things you do, you worship God in vain. Look at your church systems. Feminization, pagan holidays, worldliness, taking people's money, building centered faith. I don't know, your church probably does. Calling Sunday the Lord's Day. It's not the Lord's Day. You can gather on Sunday. It's not the Lord's Day. And having a soft approach to the gospel rather than proclaiming Christ crucified and calling people to repentance and then calling them out of the world and out of every false way. You can't do it because you practice false ways. And what is the skeleton for?
Well, to draw people and say, hey, you know what? One day you're going to die. One day you're going to die.
I had to get that. One day you're going to die. Yeah, because I am going to post this on my website. I do this for edification. And what I may do is look up your church and I may do a testing of it to warn people. But lovingly, I'd warn you that, like I said, you're wasting your time because you have some truth. But what one thing you lack? See, this is the thing. The closing. Let me say this to you, too. When you're in sin, like I was before I came to Christ, and you got 57 sins... One or two sins don't magnify because you're in so much sin. When you get close to Christ and you start preaching him and you're being paid to be an associate pastor and your dad's the head pastor, every sin matters now because you're in his name. You're walking his ways. You told me I got to repent and come out of the world and come out of false ways and find a good church of believers, but yet your church doesn't keep the oracles of God. So you're in hypocrisy. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And that might be bold, but it's truthful. And I got news for you. If I don't tell you this, who's going to tell you this? Not your dad. Not the people sitting in your pews that you're tickling their itchy ears. They're all watching the Packers and Netflix. Right? You guys, if I listen to your dad's sermons, is he calling people out of the Packers and out of the culture and out of Netflix and out of all that? Probably not, right? No, because your building's full of it.
Well, I don't. These things should be preached in the church. And
does he preach that?
Well, no.
So you just condemned your dad. They should be preaching. He's not preaching them.
Well,
holiness coming out of the world, Chris.
Right.
That's a big part of being of Christ.
Right.
But your dad doesn't preach it. That should really trouble you. And here's the thing. I love you enough. You may lose your relationship with your father, all your friends, all those church people to follow Christ. That's exactly what Jesus said it costs. If you don't hate your father, your mother, lose everybody, lose your life to follow me, you're not a disciple of mine. You can't be a disciple of Jesus until you're ready to turn your back on Living Faith Church, unless they repent of every false way. And if that happens, email me. We'll come park in the parking lot and live for free, and we'll help you every step. We'll be your best workers. But we can't unite to you while you live in sin.
Interesting. Well, you know what? What's your first name again? I got it.
Tupos. It means example in the Greek.
Tupos.
And my wife's name is Amen. It means faithful in Hebrew. Okay. We got rid of our worldly names. You know why? Nothing spiritual about it. Well, it is spiritual, but there's nothing mystical about it. One day God's going to give us a new name.
But see, one thing I'm going to...
The old name James, I was a worldly carnal guy. I don't want to remember that guy. He's dead. He's gone.
Well, Tupos, you know what it says in the Bible? It says a wise man will hear a rebuke and increase and learn.
Amen.
You know, and I'm hearing a rebuke right now.
Okay.
God has transformed me. I was in pornography, drugs.
Right. That's great.
And I said, you know...
You came out of those, but you got more to go.
Right. That's not how I normally present the gospel. By
It's how you're doing it here in front of all these people. But you got more to go. I hear men all the time, oh man, I quit smoking. Oh, I stopped porn and drugs. God's on my side. And I go, but you're still worldly and carnal. There'll be a lot of worldly carnal people in hell.
I agree with that.
There'll be a lot of worldly carnal false religious people in hell, Chris. And you and your dad will be one of them unless you repent. You're a stain on the truth of God by not telling people the truth. And when we walk through these places, people ignore, people mock. The religious people call the police on us. We show up at buildings and stand on the sidewalk peacefully. You know what pastors like, a pastor like your dad, you know what they'll do? They call the police on us. Peaceful on a sidewalk. Don't come in, interrupt your service. They call the police on us. But you know who comes and talks to us? Seekers. The ones that see through the church, see through the culture. They see God's people are different and they are light and salt. You're not light and salt. You're like the world.
Okay.
Take that. And go check out my website. We're going to do a post with video from preaching here. This I made an audio. This audio will be up there. And I'll probably do a testing of your church body. Because I want you to come to the knowledge of truth. And in the day that you email me and say one of two things. Ready? Hey, I studied the Bible. You're all wrong. I want to get you on the phone and talk to you and prove you. My dad and I want to prove you wrong in the Bible. Will you listen? And I'll say, yes. Call me. We'll set up a time. I'll listen. And when you're done telling me all my sins, then I'll have questions for you guys, and it'll be my turn. Or you call me and say, I repented. I prayed about it. I went to the Word. What you said about the Word of God. I don't have any truth, Chris. I just have the Word of God. What you said about the Word of God in my church is true. I repented. You and I would be brothers then. Now, if we're brothers now, I don't know it because Jesus said this. Ready? You know a tree by its fruit. Your fruit's not looking real good. I got to tell you the truth. Now you judge my fruit.
There's two doctrinal things.
You judge my fruit and tell me.
But there's two doctrinal things that you pointed out. You pointed out the covering.
No, there's more.
But listen, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead, let's get them.
There's the doctrinal.
So worldliness, you don't teach coverings for women. You don't teach biblical dress. You don't teach men how to dress. You teach pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter.
And these are the two that you're railing me about.
No.
It is.
Christmas and Easter is another one.
Right.
The Sunday system, if you teach Sunday's the Lord's Day, it's not the Lord's Day. Do you teach tithing?
Oh, we tithe in our church.
That's not biblical. That's for the Old Testament. That's not for the New Testament. Paul says, be a cheerful giver. Give out of the abundance of your own heart. You keep a building-centered system, which...
Well, we don't preach on...
The building isn't sinful, but... Calling it the church, meeting for ritual Sunday gatherings. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? The Holy Spirit moves between 10 and 12 o'clock every day on every Sunday. When we have a house fellowship gathering, it might be at 2, it might be at 5, it might be 11, and the Holy Spirit's there for like 8 hours. You see what I'm saying? Programs. Well, it's not just that. Tell you what. You watch.
I understand where you're
You watch. You told a non-truth. I won't say you lied. You told a non-truth. You said I'm hammering at the dress. No, that's just one part of it. I will do a testing of your church. You email me and send me your email. I already have your email. It's on that card, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll email you the testing of the church. It will show you the sins. It's not just that. But all you need is one. If I walked up here using the F word and pretended to be a preacher, what would you say?
No, I'd say you're a hypocrite.
That's one sin. You got a lot of sin. So that must mean you're a hypocrite.
Oh, I see.
Thank you for admitting that.
That's interesting. Interesting point.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. One sin will disqualify you.
But you think
that you got to repent of. Only the sins you... Do you think Jesus' blood magically cleanses me while I live in sin in the culture and just sin and sin and sin and sin and sin? I'm sinning, I'm worldly, I'm keeping false traditions. The blood's magically covering me? No. 1 John 7 says, if we walk in the light, that's the truth, that's Jesus, his blood cleanses us when we confess our sins. There's a system to it. It's a covenant. He did it, now we walk in it. All the American, many, most all, of the American churches think Jesus' blood magically just past, present, future, all washed away. That's not true. And yeah, you didn't teach once saved, always saved. So you don't believe that.
I don't. There's
But you live like it because you're not teaching people in your church to flee all sin. You said this. You kind of set a death knell. Ready? Your death knell was this. Well, we're kind of getting around to that stuff. After 30 years, you're getting around to sound doctrine.
Think about this, though. Do you think it's permitted for a woman to speak in the church? Do you think that?
Is it?
Do you believe it's permitted for a woman to speak in the church?
That's a tricky question. Can the women walk in and say, hello, hi, nice to see you, Margaret, nice to see you? Yes.
What about prophecy?
Can the women teach? And can the women usurp authority? No. Can the women speak? Can they give authority? Be given authority and to rebuke men? No. Prophesizing, praying. Look what my wife's doing. She's prophesizing. She's telling those women the word of God. Now she could do that in a church building if she met some people. She doesn't do it in front of the stage to men and take authority over men. She doesn't interrupt what men are doing. If the men are there, she's quiet. You notice how quiet my wife is?
That's what Paul is addressing in front
of. That's how quiet my wife is. So that's another whole topic.
Paul is saying having that discernment, and he's saying, hey, you guys, when you meet...
You believe in lady pastors?
Yeah, I do.
Oh! So you just threw out... You just threw out 1 Timothy 2, 1 Corinthians 14. You look for that testing. I'll email it to you.
All right.
I love you.
Life.